Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're stuck in that mess with the cows on the road and 75 North coming down, be patient. You'll get around them eventually. It was a mess. It started about 2 hours ago.
Might not be at work on time, but you'll get through it.
Yeah, just what do you tell your boss? Boss...
There were bovine in the street.
Almost hit a cow.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure boss understands. I mean, you know, it's all over the place. I'm pretty sure it's all over the news that, you know, there's a traffic. Probably, man, can you imagine being in the car right now? I know, probably shouldn't bring this up because I'm pretty sure some people in the car listen to this right now. Like, damn it, Douglas. But yeah, that's that has to be irritating. That's one of the main reasons why, like, when it comes a certain time of the day in Atlanta, I choose not to move. And if anybody's trying to see me, you better catch me before traffic. Because if it's traffic, I'm not coming outside. I'm not. I refuse to do it because it could traffic can make you lose your religion. Like, seriously. Especially if you're not used to being in traffic a lot. Because I'm not. So it'd make you lose your religion. So God bless each and every one of you who are fighting this traffic this morning. God bless you.
Yeah, well, we're going to be fighting a different battle next week, which is the rule changes in the NFL. The big meetings are coming up. We'll get into the NFL rule changes in just a moment. We are asking you this morning on our Vision Computer poll about which Atlanta team has the best young talent on its roster. It's part of the top 10 list that I did of the best players 23 and under in the city. And right now, of the four teams, 75% are saying the Braves have the best young talent on their roster. 17% are saying Atlanta United, 7% the Falcons, and 1% the Hawks. I'm surprised it's this one-sided. I mean, I know the Braves have good young talent, four of the five youngest players in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, this is the baby Braves. This is what it's about. But Atlanta United's got great young talent, and they only have 17%. And as one of the tweeters said to us, why are people, you know, why are y'all sleeping on the Falcons, 7%, and their young talent? And I'm like, why are you sleeping on the Hawks at 1%? With potentially all the great young talent they'll have in a month. Because you have to, by the way, if you're going to vote on this poll, you have to project out and include those four draft picks for the Hawks, okay? You can't just say it's Torian Prince and Tyler Dorsey and John Collins. You got to say it's those three plus the number three pick, plus the number 19, the number 30, and the number 33.
Well, I think part of the reason why it's hard for people with the Hawks is because it's unknown, John. It's one of those things where you haven't seen them do anything on the court yet at the professional level. Like, we've had a little sampling size of what the young players for Atlanta United can do. We've had a sampling size of that. We've even had a sampling size of the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, coming in, it's probably a little bit different for Calvin Ridley at this level because you look at – he's probably – I would say no, not probably, but definitely riding off the coattails of Julio Jones a little bit and what Julio's been able to do at this level. And you see Calvin and the school that he came from – and matter of fact, Calvin and any other receiver that has come from Alabama, and you see what they've done at this level, and that's why he's getting those props as far as him coming into the league.
You know, that's a great point, by the way. I just thought about that. Alabama doesn't kick out great quarterbacks, but boy, they're wide receivers.
They
Julio
got some ballers.
And Cooper and Ridley, yeah. I mean, their wide receivers have been really good. By the way, just two quick things, and we're going to get into this discussion on kickoffs. If you go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and you vote on this, we want you to weigh in on it as well and jump into the conversation and let us know what you think. Also, you should know that we're having a big shindig coming up on June 6th because it's May 17th today. I actually had to look at the calendar. It's my daughter's birthday. Duh. So in a couple of weeks here, 3 weeks, June 6th, Wednesday, June 6th, Top Golf in Midtown, and it is going to be a gas. Grady Jarrett's going to be there. He's helping us present it. We're going to have a ton of stars. We took our Celebrity Golf Classic queue, and instead of going to a golf course this year, we're going to Top Golf. We got Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Spikes, Ray Lewis, Derek Shelby, and a lot more. You, me, the entire staff. We're all going to be at Top Golf Midtown for a one of those Target Golf things.
Yeah, and the good part about it is you can still sign up to play with some of these great celebrities that we have coming in.
Yeah, and you do so at our website, 929thegame.com, and we want you to be part of this event and jump onto the website and get your team together, and you'll get a celebrity alongside you, and we're going to have a little target golf. If you ever see that, what's that new show that they got going on the Golf Channel? Why did the name just escape me?
What's that?
The one where they're basically top at Top Golf.
I don't watch
it. It's a hit show on the Golf Channel. You know, it's not Top Shot. That's a shooting show. Sharpshooters. Somebody tweet me and tell me the name of that show. Seen it a couple of times. Hit it a couple of times. All right, the NFL is going to be here. Shotmakers, thank you very much.
Shotmakers.
But
you got a chance to play with Grady Jarrett and some great celebrities that are coming in. It's not too late. Just go to the website, 929 The Game. And sign up.
Yeah, and being on our team, we want to beat Dukes and Bell badly.
I don't want to beat anybody. John, you got that going on. I just want to go have fun and see the people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a man of the people and hang out. I don't feel like being competitive no more when it comes to stuff like that. I just want to hang.
Really? Mr. I would have rather peach tree.
That's not I'm not delusional. I'm not gonna win the peach tree. I'm not gonna even run fast. I'm just out there because the people are out there. I'm out there this year running because I'm making my son run. And he looks at me every day like, are you kidding me? Oh, man, he's asking me, how are we going to do this? How are we going to negotiate this track? I said, listen, don't worry. You're going to be fine. I'm going to be the one that's struggling. Because you're like, what, 15? Your little body is going to be able to do, you'll be able to walk that and not even break a sweat probably. Me, I'm going to be the one out there struggling. Just hang out with your pops for a little while. That's all you got to do. Just hang out with me. That's it.
Yeah, we have a lot going on with sports in town because the Braves and Cubs tonight, and of course Atlanta United getting ready for another showdown on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Red Bulls. That's coming up, and we know that's looming. The Hawks have NBA Combine, the Draft Combine going on right now today in Chicago with Lloyd Pierce, the new coach, and Travis Schlenk. And then the Falcons, of course, through OTAs. But the NFL is nonetheless going to be a big headline here next week because the entire league is going to be here. All the owners, all the general managers, Roger Goodell, I mean, everybody going to be here. The NFLPA, they're all going to be in town discussing a lot of different stories, and we're going to be taking you through it. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week here in Atlanta, and, you know, the sale of the Panthers, what's going to happen with the Jaguars and Wembley Stadium, and then, of course, all the changes to the labor issues that they have to deal with, and then all the rules changes in the NFL, and there are multiple rules changes. One of the most discussed has been the way they're going to change kickoffs. So we now know what they're going to vote on because it's come out from NFL communications. This is the new rule they will vote on. And by the way, when we say, Hugh, vote on, this will pass.
Yeah, it's a done deal. I've learned that about the NFL when they're talking about changing rules or doing certain things. It's already done. They just like to, I guess they do that for just show. They really do it for show because they've already made up their mind what they're going to do.
Right, exactly. So they've made up their mind. So you just prepare, and we're going to kind of step by step here take you through what a new kickoff is going to look like, all right? Here's change number one that they'll vote on next week. The kicking team, all right? Matt Bryan's over the ball. The kicking team has to line up within 1 yard of where the ball is kicked. In other words, they used to line up 5 yards.
Yeah, get a running start.
Get a running start.
Yeah, I understand that part. Yeah.
Okay. Number two. At least 8 of the 11 players on the receiving team have to be within 15 yards of the restraining line. Now, the restraining line, what they mean by that is you kick off from the 35, and the receiving team cannot go past the 45, right, like onside kick. And so you have to be within 15 yards of the other team's 45-yard line. 8 of your players have to be between the 45 and your own 40. And then 2 of them have to be outside the hash marks, and 2 of them have to be inside the hash marks, which means they're going to bunch the players closer together and then take the receiving team and spread them out to create less, you know, pileage, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Well, yeah, you can't get that momentum, and you can't get, the wedge busters. Like, you can't create that wedge like they used to create. I think they're trying to break that up a little bit.
Well, wedge box will be eliminated. That's another one of these rules.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because I just had a flashback. And I was telling Daryl a couple weeks ago about a teammate I had. His name was Full Throttle. And he used to be the guy that would be the wedge buster. That was his whole purpose in life, was to be that guy that broke the wedge up.
And no more. That job does not exist in the NFL anymore.
That means some guys are going to be without a job in the NFL, too. That's sad. That's the sad thing about it.
Wedge box eliminated. Yeah, well, I mean, but it is. I mean, you think about Pardon me.
I quit hitting that pipe like that, John.
Yeah, lately it's been
puff pass.
Yeah.
Jason Short, yeah.
What?
No, that was the Wedge Buster. Jason Short.
Oh,
was
Jason
a wedge
Short.
Buster. Yeah, it was a Wedge Buster.
So that's another one of the rules. Another one of the rules is the ball will be dead as soon as it touches the ground in the end zone. So you can't, like, if you touch the ball and it rolls into the end zone, or if it hits the
you can't
pick it up and run.
Yeah, they're trying to make it safe, because when you think about it, and I think they've stated this, is that that's when most of the injuries occur, is on kickoffs. Because I remember being on the kickoff team my rookie year, and your job, if you were a five or a four, that was your job. Your job was to sacrifice your body and go in there and break up that wedge. Like, because you know how it is when teams would have their guys in the front, everybody would come back and they would form a wall and allow the kick returner to pick where he was going, or you would have the wall going, wall left, wall right, wall middle, whatever. The Wedge Buster's job was to go down there and disrupt all of that. So you would go down there full speed and just blow up the whole thing. And so they're trying to eliminate all of that.
So it sounds to me like the way it looks in, as I envision it in my brain, you have these 11 guys or 10 guys that are on the kicking team. They're within 1 yard of the ball. And so Matt Bryan approaches the ball and kicks it off. And they start running, but they don't get as big a running start. So they're going to be a little slower off the line, obviously, because they're not moving with the kicker as far, 5 yards down to one. The other team is going to be, the receiving team is going to be spread out far more, because you have to have two guys outside the hash mark and two guys inside the hash mark, and you have to have eight players up there. So it seems to me that this is my take, just envisioning it in my mind. I think there is an opportunity now to have much larger, more dynamic kickoff returns.
I agree, because you're going to have a better chance to actually gain some momentum and gain some ground where the returner is, as far as the defenders and the Wedge Busters and everybody. It's going to take away a little bit from their momentum. It's going to create a little bit more space for the punt returner to gain yards. That's right. What it's going to do.
That's what I think. I think they're going to be more room, because, again, the guys aren't going to be coming quite as fast. There'll be another step or two slower off the ball.
You won't get that running start. You're mm-hmm. not going to get that running start. And that used to be key, especially if you were a Wedge Buster. If you were a four or five, that was key to step back. When you were a four or five, you're really running start. You would start with the kicker. And when the kicker moved, you move with the kicker. And you would try to time up his kick with your takeoff. And that's why you would see some guys, they would wait. The kicker would go, and they would wait a little bit, and then they would hit full speed. So by the time the kicker kicks off, they're already at full speed. They're down the field. They're blowing stuff up. They're trying to take all that away. They're trying to take that away. They're trying to make it so that you don't have that momentum, and guys hopefully will remain safer when they do kickoffs.
All right, we'll discuss more about this. It'll be certainly a huge topic next week when they finalize the vote on new kickoffs in the NFL. Remember, they changed kickoffs in college football too. And so we're seeing hopefully not an elimination of kickoffs. Maybe they can find a way to keep the kickoff in the game, and that would be a good thing. All right, it's time for you this morning to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
beef. Beef. B-E-E-F. Beef. As in, if you're driving down 75 and you happen to hit an animal, you're going to have beef for dinner today. Beef. You have to 759 to text beef to 72881. I guess if you're stuck on 75, you could probably do it right now. All right? Just go to 72881 and text beef to 72881. Maybe you'll win $1,000. Do not text and drive. And message data rates may apply. The $1,000 national signing bonus, the word is beef, at 72881. Discussing a little bit of the NFL here. Yeah, so I think that for at least for now, as I understand these rules to be, this rule change in the kickoff in the NFL, two things occur to me. One is you have to get really good cover guys, okay? Because that you have to upgrade in your cover guys, because they don't get the running start. And number two is you'd better have a really good return guy. Well, what did the Atlanta Falcons do in the draft and in the offseason here that everybody says, oh, they didn't do anything? You mean they went out and got the number one kind of special teams guy in the NFL in Justin Bethel as a free agent? They went out and got the guy that they think is the best special teams cover guy in college football in the draft in Russell Gage. They went out and got a Calvin Ridley, not only as a wide receiver, but maybe as a return guy. I think that they looked at these new rules and say, how do we take advantage of those?
Yeah, well, or they looked at it and said, you know, like to your point a few days ago, you said that, you know, you had the worst starting position in the NFL. How can we help our offense out a little bit? Let's bolster our special teams. This game has devolved to the point where I remember, John, where special teams weren't that big a deal. You played special teams because you were a rookie, and there were no veterans that ever played special teams, hardly. Only guys that played special teams were the ones that were not, they were non-starters. The game has evolved to the point now where you want your best athletes on the field at all times because you want to have an advantage. You want to try to get as much advantage as you possibly can in all three phases of the game. And special teams is no different than offense or defense to a lot of teams nowadays, because if you can win that field position battle, you have a better chance of winning the football game.
So, again, that'll be one of the big keys as we go forward next week. Rules changes about ejections, for example, and of course, all the labor issues and the team issues as well with those big, huge meetings in Atlanta next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. One other quick note about the Falcons. Former Falcon Leroy Reynolds, speaking of special teams, has a new job. He's with the Super Bowl champion Eagles.
Congrats to him.
Roy did some nice things here on special teams. He's one of those guys that you may not have noticed, but you don't realize that you miss. And linebacker depth with the Falcons right now is a bit of an issue. It's one of those little issues that we have out there. It is the morning show with John and Hugh on this Thursday. How much, we just mentioned Calvin Ridley. How much money is Calvin Ridley going to make when he finally does sign his deal? Well, we have one projection as to what his contract is going to be. We'll tell you next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen and win the game's national signing bonus. This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Once again, early next week, Atlanta will be the center of the universe for the National Football League. And, of course, it's going to be the NFL. Atlanta's going to be the center of the universe for the NFL for a long time, all
about
year.
About a year. Yeah. For the Super Bowl. Everybody get y'all rooms reserved and try to, you know, get
you
these
think those
venues.
Are already, like, gone?
Yeah. They were gone when they announced that Atlanta had the Super Bowl. They already blocked off a bunch of rooms. The NFL did that. And then, you know, all the party promoters in town and stuff, they did that. All the venues are probably already locked up. You'd be hard-pressed to find a venue to have anything right now in Atlanta, I would think.
I would think, too. Yeah, I mean, and we're hopeful that maybe we free up a few hotel rooms because one of the teams doesn't need hotel rooms. That's just what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? Their fans don't need hotel rooms. Yeah, I'm just think, what?
Why wouldn't you need it? Even if Atlanta did make it, John, why wouldn't you need a hotel room? It'd be hard to get downtown. It'd be hard to move around. I would want to stay close to the venue as I possibly could.
No, I'm talking about the fans, Bo. I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about the
no.
The
I'm talking free, yeah, as a fan.
Wait, Bo. You were saying that the team stays in a hotel downtown before the night before the game.
Yeah, the team stays in a hotel the night before the game.
And they stay. No, not only that, Bo. They stayed a week before the game. They're gonna be in the town for a week. They're gonna be here. Like it'll be, you know, they know their way around. But if they make it, they'll be in town at the hotel for a whole week.
Yeah, right. They would be because of all the you know, the media day and
just the logistics, John. Just to be able to move around in the city. Like the good thing about it, I would assume that everything will be on site as far as like maybe the Home Depot parking lot and everything is going to be where they have the NFL experience. But they're going to have all of that stuff close to the stadium. And you would want to probably be as close as possible if you live here in Atlanta to all the action. It's just easy to move around. It would just be easier to move around, I would think.
Well, let's hope it's a Calvin Ridley effect, because Calvin Ridley, who came in at number 8 on my list of the top 10 current athletes in Atlanta, best players age 23 and under, Calvin's a little used to playing championship games in Atlanta. Matter of fact, he's spoiled about playing championship games in Atlanta. How many has he played? So hopefully he plays another one, like an NFC title game and maybe a Super Bowl, maybe a couple more this year. Calvin has not signed his contract yet, and just noting that of the 32 first-round players in the NFL, because most of the players from the second round on have signed. The Falcons have signed every player from the second round on. They have not signed their first rounder, Calvin Ridley. I guess he's just waiting to get slotted. SportTrack noting that there are seven players that have been signed, and by the way they're slotted, they say that Ridley will get a deal worth around $11 million with a signing bonus of about $6 million. This is what I don't really quite understand, and maybe you can walk me through this because you went through this. You actually had to be a rookie who had to get a deal. If you're slotted, why wouldn't you just go ahead and get a deal done? I mean, what's the hang-up?
John, when I played, we didn't have slots. That wasn't Sam Bradford? I think Sam Bradford was the last quarterback to get the last big deal in the NFL. This is a little bit different. So the way I'm assuming the way that it's going right now is they have to structure the money a certain way. It has to be structured. And I think you get like a 10% increase from the player that was slotted in that same spot before you or something like that. And I think that's what it is. So you want to look and see. You don't want to be the 26th pick and sign before the 18th pick, if you will.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's the way that I kind of understand it. You kind of want to let, like, the number one guy go, and then everybody else kind of fall in this lockstep, because whatever he gets, you're going to try to get a little bit more than him. I think that's how it works or something like that, but that's what you're looking at.
Well, so far, seven of the top 32, as mentioned, have signed. Here are the seven that have signed their deals. None of the top five have signed. The highest draft pick that has signed is the sixth pick overall, Quentin Nelson, the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame, who signed with the Giants. Number 10, Josh Rosen, quarterback Arizona, has signed. Number 13, Deron Payne, a defensive line Washington. Number 14, Marcus Davenport, defensive end New Orleans. Number 18, Jair Alexander, cornerback Green Bay. Number 19, Leighton Vander Esch, linebacker Dallas. And number 20, Frank Ragnow, center for Detroit, have all signed their deal. So those seven have signed. Of course, Baker Mayfield has not signed. Saquon Barkley has not signed. Josh Allen has not signed, those top five guys. Mayfield, according to Forbes, will get now, this is the deal. This is why Josh Rosen, and it occurred to me, Hugh, why Josh Rosen was out there trying his best. Get the difference here. Josh Rosen was out there. Remember, he was having those comments where he came out and said, hey, I think I should be the number one guy. He was, like, making his case in public on video for, you know, being a higher draft pick than he turned out to be, because he wanted to be in that top three slot. You know, why was it so important for Josh Rosen to try to state his case for being at the top of the draft? Well, he came in at number 10, which isn't bad. You're going, well, dude, you're the 10th pick of the draft. Josh Rosen got $17.6 million, right? $17.6 million. Forbes estimates number one pick Baker Mayfield will get $33 million. So there's a little bit of a difference there. The entire deal for Josh Rosen is 17.6. Mayfield going to get a signing bonus worth $22 million.
And not only that, John, just to be the number one pick overall in the draft, I mean, there's a whole lot that goes along with that, like rookie card deals and things of that nature. You're going to get some money on the side. I mean, you're going to make your salary in the NFL, but you're going to get some other opportunities that are going to come to you that wouldn't come to anybody else that wasn't in that top five.
You know, you start looking at these numbers and you think Baker Mayfield, the Browns are going to pay Baker Mayfield around $33 million with a $22 million signing bonus. How do you keep that on the bench? How do you pay somebody that kind of money and say, hey, you know what, you can sit on the bench?
Normally you don't, especially when you're talking about a quarterback position. So it's one of those things where it all depends on how fast Baker picks up the offense, whether or not he'll thrive in that offense. And the reason why I say that is, he'll be in a position where if he's ready to go, they're going to put him out there. But if he's kind of like on the fence a little bit and it's a little wishy-washy and they're still struggling, they're going to throw him out there whether he's ready or not, just to see if he can provide a spark to the team. So he'll do himself a favor if he doesn't miss any camp, gets into his playbook, and just it absorb as much of that offense as he possibly can and learn it as quickly as possible.
And by the way, the Browns and Falcons hook up in week number 9 in Cleveland for the ninth game of the year, actually week 10, ninth game of the year for the Atlanta Falcons. Talking about some of the headlines in the NFL this morning ahead of those NFL meetings, Randy Gregory, remember that name? He wants to be reinstated into the NFL. Randy Gregory seeking to come back. The Dallas Cowboys still, I understand, hold his rights, but they could cut him. If they did, first off, you know, set aside the troubles of Randy Gregory, he wasn't good enough. He just was not good enough, Hugh.
He had issues. he had issues, and his play is not reflective of somebody who, like initially, John, you would want to look at and bring him in on your team. But somebody might look at him and say, if the Dallas Cowboys do decide to cut him, they might look at him and say, hey, he has potential. Because he was a pretty good player in college, really good player in college, and at one point was projected to be a first-round draft pick. That didn't pan out for him because, for obvious reasons, you know, he had some issues that he was dealing with, off-the-field issues. But somebody might look at him, if he's gotten his situation, if he's gotten his business taken care of and he's taken, you know, done everything that he possibly can to get himself help and get healthy, that somebody might take a chance on him.
Well, somebody may take a chance on him. I remember all those Falcons fans who were blowing up my Twitter. We got to get Randy Gregory. We got to get Randy Gregory. And I said, trust Thomas Dimitroff. No, he made a mistake. You know, guys, you know, they saw the pre-drafts. See, they saw the reports. They went, for a reason. Are you thankful they didn't take Randy Gregory?
Well, initially, everybody looked at him like he was the second coming. You know, he was the hardest thing since frozen food. And then after the combine, that's when you started to get all the reports started to come out about, you know, certain things that have happened in the past and things of that nature and his the way that he graded out. So that's what that was. It's always like that. That's one of the main reasons why during the time before the combine, when we started talking about projections and this person's going to do that and that, you kind of have to wait until these teams start evaluating these cats, and then that's when the real story comes out.
Yeah, I know. When he came out of Nebraska, everybody said, oh, Randy Gregory's the best defensive player since Ndamukong Suh to come out of Nebraska. And people in Nebraska went, well, you know, he's okay. We said, he's fine. You're not, and we kind of went, really? All right, we think he's good, but yeah, everybody was saying he was great. Oh, he's great. We went, no. Dennis Erickson, remember that name? He's now back in football. He's going to coach the Salt Lake City team in the new AAF. Let's not forget, Atlanta, you have a new football team, right? You have an AAF team that's going to begin the week after the Super Bowl. And you're going to have Brad Childress as your head coach. You're going to have Michael Vick as your offensive coordinator. And you're going to have now, of course, Dennis Erickson as your head coach. And so, Dennis Erickson now as a head coach in the league. So you have what? You have Orlando's got Spurrier, right? And Memphis has
Mike Singletary.
They do have big name coaches. Brad Childress here in Atlanta. You've got Dennis Erickson in Salt Lake City. Am I forgetting anybody?
No, that's about it. They only got four right now.
So they only got four.
Yeah.
Brad Childress. Neuheisel, I had heard, was going to be a coach at a quote unquote Southern California team, but they haven't announced that yet. What team? I got to believe that's San Diego.
Okay, Lador. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Interesting to see what kind of attention the AAF gets. Hey, MLS. Atlanta United fans, listen to me. MLS has smacked down Orlando City for the end of the game. Wait till you hear what MLS did to the Lions and their players after the way that game ended against Atlanta United. We have the story for you next. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay. Let's do it.
We're giving away a quarter of $1 million.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now hear this, now hear this.
Hey, did you hear this?
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday, pre-Friday, drink at night and all that kind of good stuff. Take you back to the Atlanta United game last weekend at Orlando City and the end of the game where it was chippy all the way through, Hugh, correct? Is that fair to say, right?
Yeah, but it got ugly towards the end. It got a little pushy.
Well, one of the things that happened, yeah, and then the fans started throwing stuff on the field. One of the things that happened, fans threw stuff on the field, and the other thing that happened is one of the Orlando City players, Will Johnson, took a dive, and then he came up screaming at the referee as if he had been fouled when he, in fact, jumped over an Atlanta United player and wasn't even touched. I mean, it's one thing to take a dive, and, you know, soccer players do that. They're a little soft. But another when you just flat-out fake it. I mean, totally fake it. Well, they have been called to the carpet by Major League Soccer. Our buddy Doug Roberson from the AJC notes this. Orlando City Soccer Club has been found in violation, all right, I have to go slow because it's a big thing here, of the mass confrontation policy In the 82nd minute of the Orlando's match against Atlanta United, May 13, that's when all of the mass confrontation policy is when you can't have a bunch of players, you know, get together in a scrum and pretend to soccer fight, okay? Orlando City's been issued a warning for the club's first violation of that policy this season. But more, Will Johnson, the midfielder who took the dive, was found guilty of simulation embellishment in the 90th minute of the match. The MLS Disciplinary Committee has issued Johnson an undisclosed fine. Have you ever been found guilty of simulation embellishment?
Don't know what that is. I guess it's simulation embellishment, basically. Oh, I forgot, but they can't hear you. Flopping. Yeah, flopping. No, because, you know, he's talking in my ear, and I'm like, yeah, basically. But, no, I knew it was simulation embellishment, like simulating, you know, something that happened to you and you're making it worse than it is. I get all that. But, yeah, flopping.
Flopping. So Orlando City's been slapped on the wrist by Major League Soccer for flopping. And they've been issued a violation for the mass confrontation policy, which is initiating a soccer fight, apparently. And this is, by the way, Mike Honey was saying, because I asked Mike about this, Hugh, yesterday. I said, hey, when Orlando City comes here, and when is that? That's Saturday the 30th of June. I said, when Orlando City comes here, they're going to be 72,000. They're going to open up the thing. Are we going to have issues? And he said, nah. He said, all our fans will do is boo. And I went, you know what? You're right. When we go back there, though, in August, that could get ugly. Because that fan base...
August 24th, they don't know how to act.
They're special.
They're a little different down there in Orlando.
Well, the whole city is a little bit different, isn't it? You know, the whole town is a little bit odd.
I can't really say nothing bad about Orlando. I haven't really experienced anything negative about Orlando like that. So I really can't say anything bad about it.
I don't know. Whatever it is in the water down there. Bo, I mean, we used to... You know how everybody likes, we like to give New Orleans the business. I like to give New Orleans business. But when I was at CNN, there was, you know, Florida's a joke, right? I mean, we all know the Florida jokes, right? But at CNN specifically, it was Orlando. And I don't know if that had to do with George Zimmerman or Casey Anthony or anything, but it was like every weird story would come out. You wanted a weird story, you picked up the phone, you called the affiliates in Orlando because there was going to be something weird going on in that town. What is it about that city?
It's kind of like an armpit. Is what I've heard people describe it as. It's, I don't know, there's some really bad areas in Orlando, some really bad areas, especially around the stadium. But I've never understood the city of Orlando is like, why would anyone want to live there? And I don't mean to be negative, but you're not near water, okay? It's literally, it's just like,
you're hot.
You might as well be living in Macon. I mean,
all right. He's at SquidBilly929.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. Shots fired.
Wow. Shot at Macon. Taking shots at Macon. There's some good people came out of Macon.
Yeah.
It wasn't a shot at Macon. It was just.
Is it George Foster from Macon? George Foster? I think George Foster from Macon. There's some good people. I know
our dear friend Sam Mitchell is from Macon.
That's what I'm saying. There's some good people come from Macon.
The Allman Brothers are for Macon, right? Yeah. What other quick note here? I love this. Apparently, Major League Baseball Replay has its own Twitter account. Who knew? MLB Replay Twitter. They have their own Twitter account called Major League Baseball Replay. It's official, by the way, an official Major League Baseball Replay Twitter account. And so they shared the video of the Camargo call against the Cubs.
It said what?
And said,
this was inconclusive.
It says, Braves challenge to call that Johan Camargo was out at home plate in the fifth. Call stands, runners out. And hundreds of Braves fans start responding to it going, dude, you guys got the call wrong and you posted it on your replay Twitter. I mean, and so MLB replay is getting just torched.
What was their retort? Did they have a retort?
No, they had no retort. They just posted it up there and went, Johan Camargo is out at home plate in the fifth, which he wasn't. Call stands, runner is out. Call stands, runner is out. Okay, whatever.
They can't win that one, so That's the best thing to do is not say a word. Just pretend like it never happened. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Just keep it moving.
All right. So, and by the way, on our Vision Computer Poll, because I'm yakking, we want you to go to our Twitter at 929 The Game because we're talking to you about our poll this morning about which Atlanta team has the best young talent on its roster, and you pick of all the four. And some people were kind of digging the Hawks a little bit. They were giving the Hawks a little business. How can you put the Hawks on here? And the Hawks only have 1% because I voted for the Hawks. And I said, look, as great a young talent as the Baby Braves have in United and the Falcons, every team has great young talent. You have to project out a little bit. The Hawks are going to have Torian Prince, John Collins, and they're going to have Tyler Dorsey, who I still have high hopes for, and even Bembry, who I have high hopes for. And four, essentially number one draft picks. And people said, well, you know, when I put out my top 10 list, how can you put an unnamed Hawks number three pick at number four ahead of Ozzie Albies? And I said, because he has the potential to be the biggest superstar in the NBA this team has had since Dominique, if they do it right. And they said, well, you don't know who it's going to be. My answer is, yes, I know it's going to be. I know who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Luka Doncic. But outside of that, it's going to be somebody, right? That's the only player I know it's not going to be.
It's going to be somebody. And you've already anointed him like one of the best. I get it.
Could be DeAndre Ayton.
Walk it like a donkey. Walk it like a donkey.
The Braves do have good young talent, though, and that good young talent stood on its ear. And the guy that's number two on my list had another big hit last night. The guy behind Deion Jones at number one was a star again for the Braves. But I have that as we continue on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.